Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Alrighty, guys. Hello and welcome back to OMG MotoGP podcast, the extra edition as we head to the roller coaster. The second round of the longest ever season in MotoGP is upon us. There's action on and off the track to get stuck into as we look ahead to Portugal this weekend. I'm Renita Vermeulen. Make sure you like and subscribe to OMG wherever you get your podcasts from. And if you'd like to support us further, please do check out our Patreon as well, which is in the link. But alongside me, as always, is former Grand Prix rider and British champion Keith Ewan. Keith, welcome back to Extra.
Good to see you again, Renita.
Plenty to come in this episode. You just spoke with Jack Miller. We were so fortunate to have Jack come on. So guys, without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Jack Miller.
G'day, Jack. Thanks for joining us. Fresh from a rainy Portugal on Thursday then.
Yeah. It's a pretty, let's say, not typical weather down here. I once again told the wife, don't worry, it'll be sunny and warm. And she packed for sunny and warm. Wet and cold, so I'm in the good books.
But still smiling.
Look, exactly.
I don't want to wipe the smile off your face, but I've got to start with Qatar, really, haven't I? I've got to say to you, not the way you would have chosen to start your year.
Definitely not. I mean, if we were writing the script, I would have opted for maybe a better ending than that. But no, definitely not the weekend I had envisioned or planned in my mind, but they were the cards we were dealt. So you know, it's just the way it goes sometimes in motorcycle racing. The beautiful thing about the sport is we get to come back and do it all again this week. So and I think we got another 18 more shots after this one, so we'll just keep plugging away at it. You know, the season's long. We've got a fantastic motorcycle underneath us. It's just about me pulling my finger out and doing what I need to do and what I know I can do.
Is it as simple as that, though? Because at the end of the day, the KTM, like most bikes at the head of the field, has made steps in all different areas. Brad obviously seems to have taken to it straight away. Is it as simple as you pulling your finger out, or is it just making them tiny little adjustments?
I wish it was as simple as just me pulling my finger out. That's me selling it to you and selling it maybe to myself a little bit. But I mean, it's like I said, I felt comfortable on the bike in general throughout the weekend from the word go, and we were fast throughout the weekend. Had a small issue in the sprint race and wasn't really able to show our full potential. Although we were there for at least, let's say, half race. I hoped and planned for more on Sunday and, you know, got away to a decent start and things were looking all right. And just asked a little bit more of the front end. At turn one with the other boys sort of running wide, I thought I'd hold the title line and come back underneath them. and it wasn't to be. And then, yeah, picked the bike up. She was a bit bent, a bit twisted, but and missing a few wings. But we were able to at least finish the race and gather some decent information. But, you know, by that point, you're just clinching the straws. I mean, the job was already done.
You can't leave anything on the table anymore, can you, in Grand Prix? I mean, the fact of the matter is that everybody is fully committed, every single braking point, turning and the like. If you did leave anything on the table, you'd be at the back of the field after lap one.
Yeah, 1,000%. I mean, the sport's in an absolutely phenomenal era, I guess you could say, in terms of the ability of the riders, for one, and then also the competitiveness of the machines. I think I don't think we've ever seen MotoGP this competitive ever. With, let's say, 20 blokes, more or less, on the grid that have a legitimate shot at winning each weekend.
Does that concern you or does that excite you?
A bit of both, to be honest. It excites you because, I mean, it's amazing to be part of this spot in sport, I guess you could say, but also it's concerning because you don't know how you're going to shape up each weekend. You're just trying to do your best. And I mean, sometimes your best is 10 seconds off, whereas 10 seconds off, you know, a few years back used to be on the box. And nowadays, 10 seconds off means you're not getting a single point. You're going home with nothing. So it's a stressful one, but it's also, like I said, an awesome time to be a part of the sport. It's a, you know, when they do work out good or when they do come good, it means all the more to you.
Portugal was round one last year. It's a place that really you've had a mixed bag of results there, I think, personally. But last year, day one, you kicked off top of the sheet, which is the way to go. You must be looking forward to bringing something forward from Qatar and making it work in Portugal.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, we've got a fantastic bike under us. I really enjoy this place. I was on the box here, I think, twice. We was fighting for the podium last year in Ducati and dumped the front trying to go under Mir at turn one. And then, yeah, last year we were competitive in both the sprint and the main race. First time out on the bike. So I think we've come, you know, a heck of a long ways in a short amount of time with the bike and let's say my feeling and the way that the bike works. So I'm looking forward to this weekend. Again, going to a track where we haven't tested that beforehand. You know, just rocking in like a normal race weekend would be, not 2 days of track time already under your belt. So you hit the ground running, you're not looking for settings, you're not looking to improve over the weekend. You're just looking at trying to hit a number basically. So I'm looking forward to that.
Turn one, you mentioned it. I mean, that is one awesome corner to get yourself into. You can make or break a race there, or make and break a bike, I would think, into that. I mean, describe that turn one when everybody arrives there at the end of lap one.
Yeah, it's pretty intense turn one here. It's a weird one because you kind of got to play with the brakes the whole way down the drop off, let's say the waterfall. You got to kind of play with the brakes, and then once you sort of get to the base of the hill, you kind of got to try and do all your stopping in a rather short amount of time. Fortunately, you know, the bike G's out at the bottom and you pretty much compress all the tires and everything into the ground. So basically I feel like that's probably the most amount of stopping that we'll do, maybe apart from Texas and to turn one up the hill. But, you know, in this, let's say in the amount of distance versus the deceleration, I think it's this most savage deceleration I think we've got on the calendar.
Do you ever work a plan out? You ever got it in your head when you arrive at a place like turn one? I mean, it's just natural instinct.
I think there's a very famous quote that everyone has a plan until they get smacked in the head. And it's pretty much like that. I mean, you can plan all you like, but unfortunately, these races just play out the way that they do. And that's the beauty of motorsport. You can't really plan for what's going to happen. You just got to try and sort of plan on the fly, I guess you could say. But no, I mean, your plan is to stay on track and obviously make it around the corner is the main one, but that's about it.
Well, we wish you luck this week on that one, that is for certain. Now, regarding sprint versus Grand Prix, I mean, where are you best set at the minute as a rider and as a setup? Which one do you prefer out of the two?
Either or. They're both different. Like, it's, I guess, like trying to compare a car to a motorbike. I mean, or qualifying to an free practice. It's they've each got their own character, and they're both equally fun. Where, you know, in the sprint, it's just an all-out war where you're not really concerned about absolutely anything. You set passing the bloke in front of you as quick as possible and as soon as possible. Whereas, you know, in the Grand Prix race, you got to be kind of a little bit more strategic about it and try to get your timing right and obviously manage things a little bit better. So, I mean, they're both equally as fun. Obviously, one pays a little bit more than the other, but apart from that, it's you know, I think it's been a fantastic addition to the weekend. It definitely speeds the weekend up, makes, you know, keeps it exciting for us, because basically once we hit the ground running on Friday, we're into it till Sunday. You know, you're on the ball and you're moving and trying to better both yourself with your riding and then also the bike as well.
You and Brad seem to me to be fairly similar characters. I would imagine that you get on very well together, and down the pub must be quite good fun, I would imagine, as well. But I mean, that obviously then when you hit the track becomes a whole different situation. I mean, you're obviously friends. What's the competition like between you when it gets to the tarmac, when it gets out onto the track?
I think if you look back through my whole career, I mean, I've been friends. People say, oh, you know, so-and-so are great mates, you know, whoever I'm teamed up with at the time. And I think it's just the environment that you put it in the team. Obviously, Brad and I have a lot more in common than some of my past teammates. We're both extremely young when we left our home countries to come over here and pursue a dream. And Aussies and South Africans are more alike than they'd probably like to, you know, add, but or comment on. So no, it's a great pairing, and I think, you know, at least for myself, or from my point of view, I've done this since I was a kid, a very young kid, and you know, even back to those days, I mean, you'd go and play with your mates in the paddock, and then when it came time to go racing, it was as serious as it is nowadays. I mean, as soon as the helmet goes on, you don't want to say friendships stop or friendships get put on hold or anything, but, you know, I mean, you race each other. I feel I race each other. I race everybody equally and fairly, firm when you need to be, and but trying never to go over the top or anything like that. So yeah, I don't think that's really an issue. It's something that you kind of groomed into, I guess, with like I said, racing from such a young age.
The KTM's evolved into a great motorbike. There's no doubt in that. I mean, how different though? Are you able to make a much of a difference compared with Brad's bike, for instance, setup wise? Are you a long way distant from each other, or you got your own nuances that you like to set a bike up like? Is there much difference between the two bikes, or does it suit him better than you at the moment, or the other way around?
I wouldn't say it suits either of us more than the other. If you look at results simply on paper, I mean, obviously Brad's been putting the results on the board, so clearly he's suiting the bike pretty well. But we're far away in terms, or not far, but, you know, we're quite different in terms of setting. I mean, Brad's up to my shoulder. He's quite a small bloke. And, you know, 60, 61, 62 kilos, I'm 70 kilos. Not without trying, you know, I'm trying to be as close to him as possible, but he's a smaller framed guy. And even Pedro, I mean, with him, and then Augusto as well, we've got four very, let's say, different bodies, I guess you could say, different bodies, different riding styles. Brad's got a very particular riding style. I don't think I've ever seen anybody on the grid ride with a bike set up quite the way Brad does, and the way he does it is, it's mind-boggling to me sometimes, because I don't understand how he can make a turn, but, you know, the thing looks like a chopper at some points, and he just gets it done, and he never really complains about the front end all that much, whereas I don't mind the bike slipping and sliding, as you guys have seen. We both, you know, get the thing sideways, but then I'm pretty particular with how I like my front end to feel and how much feedback I'd like to get off the front end. And if I I ride with a lot of, let's say, feel and trust in the front end. And if you start to miss a bit of that trust or whatever, that can be something that that can hinder me a little bit more. Whereas he, I don't think he really gives it two shits what's going on with the front end of the bike. He's just swinging off it. And, you know, more often than not, it works really well for him. So obviously we're trying to take the best out of all the riders that we've got on KTM, as we did in Ducati, try to take the best. But I mean, trying to just say, okay, give me so-and-so setting will never work. But fortunately enough for us with the KTM, it seems to work with, like I said, the varying styles and body shapes and so on. So definitely it's kind of cool to compare sometimes, because you see how far away you are, and then sometimes you're closer than you actually think. So
So throw into that the fact that he's chucking it down with rain today. Thursday we're recording in Portimao. It can be windy there, it can be cold there, it can be boiling hot there, or it can be raining like it is today. I mean, any particular preference, or do you just want it consistent through the weekend?
Oh, I don't care, consistent or not consistent, to be honest. I mean, either way, we're paid to go out there and ride at, you know, 9:55 in the morning, and about, well, to go and race, we're at 2 and 3 over the weekend. So, you know, as long as they don't try and pull any of this postpone, change this, change that, you know, to the format, you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles. That's the weather you were given at that point in time. That's the way motorcycle racing and racing in general has been for since its beginnings. You know, race starts at X time. Obviously, you got to throw into that. But no, I think all conditions, I'll take them all on.
We know what you're out there for, obviously to win. But what's the minimum that you'll be consider acceptable this weekend from you?
Obviously, we're, like you say, I mean, put in the biggest off-season that I've ever done in my life. I didn't stop since December, since we knocked off pretty much in Valencia. The level of commitment that I've given this year is bar none the most I've ever done, working together with some great people. And, you know, the objective was to hit the ground running in Qatar. Obviously, that didn't quite work out, but we'll make some swift changes, and fingers crossed we can get back to fighting for victories sooner rather than later. But, you know, if I can walk away from here with a top five, I mean, that's leaving that pretty open, but top five in both sprint and main race would be good. Obviously, I'd love to be back on the podium. We haven't touched it since Saxon Ring last year, and you know, I had that fall leading the race in Valencia at the final round last year, and that's been sitting pretty in my mind for the last, you know, 4 months.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Months out, pretty keen to, you know, wipe that memory and replace it with something decent.
Let's hope all the work this weekend, this winter, pays off then. We wish you the very, very best of luck. Hope it all goes well for you during the weekend. Thank you very much for taking the time to join us on OMG MotoGP, Jack. All the best, mate.
Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, what an interview with Jack Keith. I really felt like he just opened up to you. He told you about how he's feeling going into Portugal, his thoughts on the bike. What were your takeaways from the interview with Jack?
Jack's a great guy. And I mean, we got Sarah Kinraid, who organises the things from KTM, brilliant. I mean, she's got us, you know, Binder and Miller, we've interviewed here on OMG MotoGP, and they've both been spectacular. I mean, I'm a big Jack Miller fan, I really am, and I feel a bit for him at the moment because it's not quite going his way. And what I was trying to get to when I asked him about it was, you can leave nothing on the table anymore. If you're a tiny, tiny degree out in either your performance or the bike's performance, you are going to find it a real struggle to make it work. And of course, the less performance you are performing with, the more likely you are to push harder, the more likely you are to crash. It's a real fine line these guys are riding on at the moment. And I think Portugal is going to exacerbate that. I think we're, you know, last year was the first, you know, it's not been since, I think, this race last year, which was round one last year, that we had a full grid. You know, this is the first time we've had a full grid when we get going again. Qatar this year, full grid, maybe a full grid in Portugal. Will there be a full grid afterwards? That's the question. It's going to be tricky.
Going to be interesting. What I really found surprising to hear from Jack was how he was saying that his and Brad's riding style is quite similar, but there's also the differences that he's noticing where he might be a little bit more cautious on the front end, where he says Brad just goes for it and doesn't care. I thought, is this a bit more of a mature Jack that we're starting to see now as he's progressing through his career and Brad's just going all for it?
Confidence. It's all about confidence. It's what's in your head. I mean, sometimes we'd have blamed the fact that somebody got married or had a child, but both of them got married recently. So
yeah,
situations that all the outside influences that may influence you regarding your riding or over your weekend performance, you know, all of those are very similar between the two of them. All I would say is I think Brad has that just that bit more confidence in the bike. And I think that's what Jack was alluding to, was the fact that he needs a bit more confidence from the front end of the bike to make it work for him. You know, this might be the place that turns it around. On the Friday last year, he was the fastest man. He was top of the tree when it came to, you know, Friday evening when we all shut down. And he had a consistently good weekend at the end of the day. But it's a dogfight in Portugal. I tried to get that out of him as well. Turn one here for me is like a nightmare. And no one can afford to give an inch. Remember the Marc Marquez disaster at turn one. You know, it can go spectacularly wrong and it can ruin a whole season for some people. So the end of the day, I think Jack has got to find that tiny, and we're talking the minutest amount of confidence and setup now to make it work in MotoGP. It's all so close. I wanted to talk to him about so many different things, but we'd only got him for the 15 minutes. I think we overran that a little bit as well. But, you know, he's a great guy, and we will try and catch up with him again later on in the season, as I think he will turn it around as that confidence comes back and KTM starts setting things up. The other point being, of course, 2024, they've not run the 2024 bikes. He actually said that, or alluded to it, that they have no test there. So they're going to be running these bikes and working it out as they go from Friday, from day one tomorrow. And that's, you know, sometimes you land on a motorbike that works straight away. Sometimes you have to work bloody hard to get it to be yours by Saturday, Sunday. Two races on Saturday and Sunday are pretty important. And they are so different. You might have a bike that works on Saturday and not so well on Sunday, or the other way around. It is exciting. But MotoGP is just a bit special.
MotoGP is very cool. That's why we love it, right? But yeah, it was interesting when you asked Jack what his preference was regarding, you know, does he like the sprint or does he prefer the Grand Prix? And he goes, they're completely different. And it was so refreshing to hear that, because generally when the sprints were coming in, we'd hear these riders, I don't want to do that. I want the more strategic type racing, or the other riders like Brad Binder who are like, yeah, let's go, let's fight for it. And Jack's like right in the middle. He's like, I like both. It is what it is.
I mean, he likes riding a motorbike, racing a motorbike at the end of the day. He likes passing people. He likes being in the thick of it. And that's his personality, and we love him for it. And hopefully he'll make it work this weekend, of course. You know, there's some interesting things going on at the moment. I mean, I wanted to get on the subject. I know we're on extra, which means it's a bit of a short version. But Fermin Audigar having signed a two-year deal with Ducati. And by putting his name on a piece of paper at Ducati, that has just put the pressure on every other one of the eight riders that are out there on Ducatis. You know, the fact that Audigar has already signed, that means someone is going at some stage in the not too distant future. And that's an interesting dynamic as well. Ducati have really ramped up the pressure. Has that feeling of sort of, Harry'd love this if he was here with us, the Enzo Ferrari feeling, where he used to really make the riders, in their case, the drivers, compete against each other And the number one guy was the guy that was performing the best on the day. And I kind of get that little bit of a feeling from Ducati on that with this signing. I think it's a great signing. And they got a two-year option on that, so it could be 4 years that Odegaard. I mean, he's got to come up with the goods, though. And that ain't easy. Otherwise, I'd be doing it.
Well, yeah. But I think for him for this year, it's like that. It's just out of his mind. He doesn't have to stress about what he's going to do next year. That's sorted. But once he does get into that premier class, that's when that pressure is going to come, like you said, because, yeah, he does have that extra 2 years, but that doesn't necessarily mean he is going to perform. And MotoGP is very, very different to Moto2.
And forgive my ding-dong. That is somebody making a delivery at my office. And then there's the new 850s. We are going to hear about the lower displacement of the new MotoGP bikes for 2027. That's going to be confirmed. The only reason we haven't heard the exact parameters of that in at the moment is because of whether it bore and stroke and the other little bits and pieces they've got to work out yet. And they've got to work it out so we don't end up with something like we had when we were on 800s. If you remember the 800cc bikes that everybody hated and didn't really give us the required lower velocity, if you like, of lap times and the like. So this is a real tightrope they're walking with it technically. But the reason why they will be making an announcement for the new 850s early is because engineering wise it takes the lead in time that you need to design something that's going to work for 2027 is quite tough, and they're going to have to work bloody hard to get to that. So in the next month we will know exactly what the parameters are for the new 850s. And then intriguingly, Motorrad magazine, German magazine, had a conversation with Marcus Flash, who's one of the top guys there in BMW racing in the M Sport department. And the quote was, "I wouldn't rule it out when asked whether BMW were ever likely to join MotoGP." I think that's just a bit of, it's almost like clickbait. I can't see it myself, but you know, they've still got to work it out in World Superbikes. They're not winning World Superbikes with a fantastic bike they've got as a road bike, which obviously World Superbikes are based on. So making the commitment to come across into MotoGP when you're not even winning World Superbikes doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me at this moment in time, but interesting to see the BMW didn't rule it out. And his quote was, "I wouldn't rule it out." So if Marcus Flash is saying that, we've got to take him on face value.
I was reading an interview with a report, and Massimo Rivola from Aprilia was saying, yes, you know, when these rule changes come in 2027, we do want to welcome new manufacturers. And he says, "Don't I want to welcome new manufacturers?" I'm going, really? Do you really want BMW? Is it really going to happen? Because didn't they have an opportunity to take Suzuki's place when they had their shock exit a few years ago? Or was that another rumor as well?
I think everybody speculates. I think the OMG MotoGP, we try to stick as close to the truth as we can and only quote direct quotes and don't speculate too much wildly. But you know, the digital media now is all about sticking it out there and saying, "I think this," and then you might be right in a year's time. You can't be sure. It's kind of gambling on your comment, which is one of the reasons why sometimes digital media, I absolutely hate it, because it's more rumor than fact, and fake news is just an awful thing. But BMW is a big company.
Like you said, clickbait.
Yeah, clickbait at the end of the day.
Clickbait.
It's something that me and Harry talk about. You know, sometimes we've been slightly guilty of putting a headline up that maybe is a bit clickbaitish, and then I'll ring him up and say, "Do you really think we should have that? Can we change it?" And all of a sudden it gets changed again, because OMG MotoGP, we want to keep it real here. Talk about the rumours and dismiss them accordingly if that's what we think. I mean, Kawasaki, fantastic history in Grand Prix, generally. MotoGP, not obviously so much. You've got to go back a fairly long time for when Kawasaki were last here. But, you know, they're out there. It's whether the new rules, whether the funding and the like can be found to get them in place, and where are motorcycles going in the future? You know, Kawasaki is one of the best funded, you know, corporations there are out there. BMW obviously are too, but you know, they're not in it. Suzuki dropped out, we assume, because more of funding than anything else. The way forward, you know, what is going to be their product line? Is it going to be, are we going hydrogen? Are we going electric? Are we going sustainable fuel? Thankfully, MotoGP is going sustainable fuel, which, you know, I've never been, as Harry will be groaning when he watches this, I've never been a great lover of the electrification of everything. I think that we need a combination of things. I think sustainable fuel, but the problem with sustainable fuel, it's not sustainable because we can't make enough of the stuff quick enough to make it work. So, we are in a bit of a catch-22 in trying to save the planet. And with it chucking it down in Portugal at the moment, I feel that we really need to save the planet one way or another.
I think it's going to be an interesting weekend with when Jack was saying it is raining. I'm not too sure what the forecast is by the time this podcast comes out as well. But Keith, as always, we always ask predictions, you know, going into the race weekend. Come on, tell us. And guys listening, we want to hear from you as well. So before Keith gives his predictions, I want you guys to write them in the comments. Let us know who you think's going to win. Keith, no pressure. You got to tell us now.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, you're going to have to, it's got to be a Jorge Martin for a sprint, isn't it, to start with. Bagnaia's going to be in there. Binder's going to be in there for sure. But I've got a little bit of a Marc Marquez feeling for this weekend. You know, he's on a motorbike that they have data for at that racetrack. And I think that's critical as well. It's the fact that the 24 bikes haven't got data here. Or not up-to-date data. They will have gleaned some of it at Qatar, but that's irrelevant coming to Portimao. I think I'm going to have Pecco win on Sunday, Martin second place, Marc Marquez third. That's my Grand Prix, Sunday Grand Prix. Jorge Martin to win on sprint with Darren Binder.
Brad Binder.
Alex Marquez.
Oh.
I'm going to chuck another Bettini bike in there. I'll chuck Alex Marquez in there. So I've got a Marquez in third place on both race days, but different Marquezes. And of course, I will be completely wrong because it's MotoGP.
Because it's MotoGP. I'm wondering how Miguel Oliveira is going to go this weekend.
Well,
home race.
Hopefully you won't have Marquez.
Hopefully better than last. Inside. Oh, yeah. But that's why I think, do you think he's going to want to redeem himself from last year? Do you think he's going to really want to try and make his mark within Aprilia?
Home race at the end of the day, why not? Maverick Vinales went good there on the Aprilia before. You know, he's another fantastic rider, Miguel Oliveira. It's amazing where you can find a couple of tenths at a home round. I always say that home riders either win or choke. It's kind of like, you know, sometimes the home event, you know, it's too much. You've got all your friends and family and every other hanger-on that's ever been, you know, with you during the course of your career building. So when you have a home event, you've got to cater for all of them and do all the extra PR and all the rest of it that you've got to do. Sometimes riders don't react well to that. Other riders react particularly well to that, and they build themselves up and they're brilliant at home rounds. So Miguel Oliveira has proved that he can be brilliant at his home round. We've seen it before. And he's certainly going to be looking to try and put last year behind him. So Oliveira is probably a good each way bet. In fact, if you'd said that just a bit before, I might have had him in my top three somewhere.
Sorry, should have done that. The last rider I want to talk about before we go is Pedro Acosta. How do you think the rookie's going to go at the roller coaster this weekend?
Do you know, he's a very natural rider. He loves being on a motorbike. He makes that motorbike do what most people... He might be our emerging alien, you know, Pedro Acosta. It's going to be interesting to see where we go as the first three or four rounds get underway. He could be an emerging alien, that sort of guy that we look at and we think, wow, how's he doing that? Just like you used to with the likes of Lorenzo Stoner, you know, going back over the years of absolutely outstanding riders. But when you've got a weapon, a machine like Pecco Bagnaia, who just keeps hitting his marks on Grand Prix day, where, like Jack said earlier, that's the payday. You get 25 points for winning on a Sunday. And that's massively important over the course of a long season. Acosta is, for me at the moment, just exciting. That's good enough. Whatever he does, he's exciting to watch. He's learning his craft. In Qatar, he was the most exciting man out on the racetrack, but unfortunately ran out of tyre because he was exciting. We're not going to have quite that same problem here. Tyres are going to pretty much stay with us during the course of the long race as well. Can he do something? Well, probably. Maybe I should put him in my top three.
You're going to change your mind now? Yeah.
Not heard yours yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I guess I probably wanted to hear your thoughts. No, okay. It's hard to go past Jorge Martin and Pecco Bagnaia, right? It's really, really hard. That's when I started to think Miguel Oliveira. I feel like he's going to want to redeem himself. Marc Marquez, I feel like he's going to want to redeem himself from last year and all that drama as well.
Pedro Acosta. Need an order.
He's asleep. It's nearly 12:45 in the morning here in Australia, so he'll be asleep. we'll get him on the pod soon, definitely. You want to hear his thoughts of how this season's going. I'm going to go Martin for the sprint. And Sunday's Grand Prix. Oh, I'm just going to go Pecco. I just feel like it's just going to have to be.
for stating the obvious, because unfortunately it has been quite obvious over the years with Pecco. He's a good Sunday man, there's no doubt in it. But don't be slating us, you lot, back at home. Put your thoughts down below. Tell us what your three are before we get to the weekend.
Yes, as Keith said, guys, please feel free to get in touch with us at OMGMotoGP on all the social media platforms, or if you want to email us a question, omgmotogp@gmail.com is our email address. But that is about all the time we have for the extra pod. Keith, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for the interview with Jack Miller. Definitely am excited to watch him and the boys on the roller coaster at Portimao this weekend. And guys, thank you so much for listening, and we will see you after Portuguese Grand Prix.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.